Matthew 16, look at verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Jesus is interested in what people say about him. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" He's even more interested in that question. And I think that that is one of the most important questions that we must answer. Who do we say that Jesus is? Not what is a consensus, what is the preponderance of what people say about Jesus, but who do you say he is? Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And you learn from that statement that to know who Jesus is, to really know who he is, it must come by revelation from the Father. No man can give it to you. And we need to be able to answer that question. We need to be able to say who Jesus is. And this series, that's the name of it, Who Do You Say That I Am? In part one, we talked about that there are four manifestations of the Son of God. Four manifestations. We have His deity, which is the pre-incarnate Son of God. That's before He became a man. That's before He became Jesus. That's God in the past time. Then we have His humanity, the Son of Man. And you notice in that passage in Matthew, He called Himself the Son of Man. Then we have His anointing. That's the anointed man. And then we have His manifestation today, the glorified Son of God in His body. We're His body. You're not going to want to miss that part. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, I want you to go over to Luke chapter 3. While you're turning there, I'm going to review very briefly. In part one, we talked about His deity. We talked about the pre-incarnate Son of God. And you see Jesus making these appearances in the Old Testament. And I won't review all of those. But just remember John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we just kind of read that really quick and move on to verse 2. But man, if you start breaking that down, the word was is a very interesting word. It is the imperfect tense of I exist. It means continual existence in the past time. In the beginning was continually always existing in the past time, the Word. And the Word was continually always existing in the past time with God. And the Word was continually always existing in the past time as God. Jesus is God. I expected a much bigger shout. Cindy's with me. That's all. Jesus is God. He's God. I said He's God. You have God in three persons, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is as much God as God is God. The Holy Spirit is as much God as God is God. And that's why they're called the Godhead. It's like a corporation. We jump down to verse 14 and it says, "And the Word who was with God is God, continually existing in past time, became flesh and dwelt among us." And we looked at that in some detail last week. So here's God in the form of the Son, and He steps out of eternity and puts on humanity. Just like you and I. This is where some people miss it. This was a massive revelation in my life. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," right? Jesus was in the form of God. That's what it says, right? "Did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." Some translations say something to be grasped. Another way to say that is He was willing to let it go. He didn't grasp it. He was willing to turn it loose. And then it says, "but made Himself of no reputation." That literal translation means He emptied Himself of his divine privileges. Nobody emptied Jesus. Jesus emptied Jesus. And he became just like us. In other words, he shed everything that made him God. He laid that aside and came here just like us. That's huge. I said that's huge. Because if you're not careful, you're going to think that Jesus is some elite being. He's a God-man hybrid. Like, well, that was Jesus. Jesus did those things. He said, greater works shall you do. Did he say that? He said it. We'll look at that later when we get to his body. But you need to understand, he had no unfair advantage. He had to find himself in the Word of God. He had to be trained by his mother. That's who started his ministry. They ran out of wine at the wedding. And Mama stepped in. And Jesus said, woman, it's not my time. Now, he wasn't being disrespectful. There's no way. He couldn't have been. She didn't even pay attention to him. She ignored him totally because she knew he'd fall in line. And Jesus tells the disciples, now draw out and bear to the governor. And I could just see Peter and John. We talked about them last week. Can't you see the two of them? I could just see Peter going, hey, you do it, John. Yeah. You draw that out, right? God has kick-started his ministry, trained him. See, that's Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go. When they left him in Jerusalem, he's perplexed that they're wondering where he was. They're like, why did you do this? And he's like, well, didn't you know I had to be about my father's business? That's what they've been telling him. So I guess he just figured it was time to get going. Amen. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, just like us, and being found in appearance as a man, not a hybrid, but as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Totally human, totally obedient. Today, we're going to talk about his anointing. And this is what's important. You're there in Luke chapter 3. Look at verse 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. Man, that tells you a lot right there. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So guess what? Jesus knew who he was. He learned it from the Word. And he embraced it. And that's what we have to do. We have to learn who we are in Christ from the Word of God and embrace it. And when you do that, guess what you hear? In you I'm well pleased. Well, that gets me excited. Praise God. Man, you're pulling good. This is awesome. Look at verse 23. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. Why 30 years of age? Did you know he was as much the Son of God when he was 29? Why 30? That's the age that you had to be a priest. Being as was supposed the son of Joseph, the son of Heli. Skip down to chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Notice that from the time he's baptized and anointed, he goes from point A to the desert. That's point B. And he's being tempted. He's being tempted. It's like we have to make sure that he can handle this in the flesh. Guess what? When an anointing comes on your life, mark it down. It's not necessarily something to shout about, but you're going to be tested. But I have good news for you. The devil can do nothing about the anointing that's on your life. All he can try to do is get you into condemnation. That's what he was doing to Jesus. That's why he was working on him. All of a sudden, here's a man that's anointed by God. We haven't had one of those since Adam. I mean, here he is. He's just full of the Spirit of God without measure. And I want you to know the devil was completely bothered by that. Very concerned. And what's he doing? He's trying to get Jesus to sin so that his heart would condemn him. Amen. Can't do anything about that power that's on him. But if he could get him into sin, now we know from hindsight that he would have been disqualified to be the Savior of the world. And that would have been the biggest issue. But the devil didn't know that. The Bible says if he would have known, he never would have crucified him, right? So the devil didn't know that. He's just doing what the devil does. He's trying to get him to sin because he wants his heart filled with condemnation. Because in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, it says, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. That's another word for faith. And see, this anointing's on him. That's the power of God is on Jesus. He's got all this power, divine power, but it takes faith to ignite it. The word power is the word dunamis. We get our word dynamite from that. So it's like Holy Ghost dynamite, but our faith is the fuse. See, and the devil's just trying to get the fuse out of there because he can't do anything about the power. But if he can get Jesus to be condemned, but Jesus protected his faith. I said he protected his faith. Look at verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, notice this was customary for Jesus, this was his pattern. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place. Notice, he didn't pick a random passage. He went for something specific. What he's about to read is Isaiah 61. He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Notice what he didn't say is, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I'm the Son of God." No, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." Okay. Go over to Acts chapter 10. I want to submit something to you, that wherever Jesus would go, that was his main passage. He would open up Isaiah 61 and he would read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken." He would read that passage. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People would have faith in what he's saying. In fact, we stopped a little early. But he goes, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And you would have thought that all those scribes and Sadducees and all those people would have said, "Well, we need to vote you in as pastor, praise God." No, it didn't work that way. No, they escorted him to the edge of the bluff, and they fully intended to toss him off of the cliff. But that was what he would do. He would take this passage of Scripture and he would read that, and faith would come. And when people's faith came, they would get healed. The oppression would leave. Now let me prove that to you. Let me show you why I believe that. Acts chapter 10, look at verse 36. Now Peter is speaking and he says, "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." That word, say that word. He's talking about a specific word, right? "That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee," there it is, "after the baptism which John preached." In other words, after he was baptized, right? That was his first message. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth," not the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, the guy with the hometown, the carpenter that grew up in Nazareth, "with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all," say all, "who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Peter is condensing Isaiah 61. It didn't say he was operating as God. It said God was with him. How was God with him? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. How is God with you? through the person of the Holy Spirit. This is so important. Now I want you to go over to John chapter 5. The word Christ in the Greek is the word Christos, and it means the anointed one. And this is from the vines. The word comes from the verb cryo, which means to anoint, referring to the consecration rites of a priest or king. Christos is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Mashiach, which means Messiah. Unfortunately, the transliteration of Christos into English, resulting in the word Christ, deprives the word of much of its meaning. It would be better to translate Christos in every instance as the Anointed One or the Messiah, denoting the title. Jesus Christ actually means Jesus the Messiah or Jesus the Anointed One, emphasizing the fact that the man, look at this, the man Jesus was God's Anointed One, the promised Messiah. I grew up thinking Christ was his last name. You know, he's from the Galilee Christs, you know. Are you with me? That was my mindset. Two names, but it means it's his title. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Anointed One. Very important that you understand this, okay? What do we know about the anointing? We're going to get to John here in just a moment. But what do we know about the anointing? In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." Kenneth Copeland is known for saying it this way, and I think he got it from Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. He says that the anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. You know, and a lot of people think that that's the first time I've done Kenneth Copeland. Yeah? Well, that's pretty close, wasn't it? I felt his anointing. But a lot of people will say, what does the anointing do? It breaks the yoke. No. Didn't say that. It says it destroys it. My kids break things, and they bring it to me. And some things I can repair. Some things they destroy, and it's beyond repair. So when something is destroyed, when that yoke is taken off of you and it's destroyed, it can never be repaired. It cannot be used again. Thank you, Jesus. That is good news. I got help. John chapter 5. Did I tell you John 5? Look at verse 26. Now we're talking about Jesus being a man, but he's an anointed man, okay? Verse 26, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." You're not careful, you'll read, "because he's the Son of God." Didn't say that. We have authority on this earth because we are mankind. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, he said, "Let them have dominion." Right? He gave authority to this planet in the very beginning of the book. Never took it back. Ever. We have authority because we're mankind. Let them. That includes the ladies. A lot of doctrine out there that excludes the ladies, but it's wrong. Somebody's happy about that. Because it's true. It's true. Skip down to verse 30. "I can of myself do nothing." Does that sound like something God would say? "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." Verse 39. "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Jesus said, you're going to the Word because you think you're righteous because you do the law. You do it this way. And that, what you're reading, testifies of me. I'm not bearing witness of myself. He never did that. He never walked in and said, "I'm the Son of God. Come here, I'll pray for you. You'll really get healed if I pray for you." Did he ever do that? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He would read the Scriptures. Faith would come. In fact, Jesus didn't pass out business cards. He didn't have to boost his ads on Facebook. He didn't have to do that kind of stuff. The word got out. In fact, he would tell them, shush, don't tell anybody. And what did they do? They'd run out, they'd tell everybody. Next thing you know, he'd have to walk on water just to get away from folks. I mean, they'd throng him so much. Now go over to Luke chapter 20. Now you need to understand that the works that Jesus did, he did because he was a man anointed by God. A lot of people preach this. They'll preach it this way, that Jesus did the miracles he did to prove that he was the Son of God. There is no verse that says that. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He became like us in every way. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, right? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 talks about we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses because he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Then you take that with James chapter 1, verse 13. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Who can't be tempted? God can't be tempted. Who was tempted in all points like we are? Jesus was. Why is that possible? Because he laid aside everything that was deity. He emptied himself of his divine privileges and became exactly like us. This is one area that I think is so important because the enemy will get you to exclude yourself and just think, well, that was Jesus. Oh, that was Jesus. Jesus was perfect. And yes, he was. But I'm in Jesus. And I know the Bible says that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. I know it says that. And so I'm not discounting that. It absolutely was. How was he manifested in his flesh? Through the anointing. Did you know that God's manifest in your flesh? That's the reason I don't smoke crack today. That's the reason I'm not the man I used to be. Because of his anointing. He's transformed me. How many of you got a testimony? Praise God. And he wants us to operate the same way he did. That's a big deal right there. I'm telling you, that's a big deal. You're there in Luke chapter 20. Look at verse 1. Now it happened on one of those days. You ever had one of those days? Jesus is about to have one of those days. Here it comes. As he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him. There it is. That's why he's having that kind of day. And spoke to him, saying, tell us by what authority you do these things, or who is he who gave you this authority? But he answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he'll say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet. They answered that they did not know where it was from. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. We just look at that and think, Jesus, you're slick. You just got out of answering their question by asking them a question. And so we just think, wow. And he is. He many times, they would try to paint Jesus in a corner. They would ask him a yes or no question. And what would he do? The wisdom of God. He'd get a word of knowledge. He'd be able to get right out of it. Is it right to pay taxes? We got it. If he says yes, we got it. If he says no, we got him. And he said, well, let me see a coin. Whose image is that? He says, give to Caesar's what's Caesar's. Give to God what's God. And you're like, Jesus. He's just blowing people away. That's just cool. That's awesome. Man, I want to be like that. Well, you know what? You have the mind of Christ. He'll make you look good. I'm telling you, he will make you look good. So here they are. They recognize that he has authority. Don't they? They recognize it. You'd have to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to realize that he had authority. But there's more to it than just him getting out of answering their question. You want to know? The answer to Jesus' question is the answer to their question. By what authority do you do these things? By the authority of a man. Remember, it was the choice was of man or heaven. But it was anointed from God. It came from God. Came from heaven. The authority of a man. Came from heaven. Are you seeing it? That's why we can do the same thing. And greater works shall you do, because I go to my Father. I'll not leave you orphans. And that's what we're going to talk about next week, is the fourth manifestation of the Son of God. We're going to talk about the body of Christ. I'm looking forward to that. Amen. You know, the church was a mystery. Acts chapter 1, he's like, will you set up your kingdom now? Are you going to do this thing? He's already raised from the dead. Hey, let's set your kingdom up now. And he's like, well, it's not for you to know. They weren't aware that there's these 2,000 years of parentheses called the church. The church was a mystery. That's us. The church is the body of Christ. He's the head. We're the body of Christ. Isn't that powerful? And so the same things, if we'll work in concert with Him as He worked in concert with His Father, He said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. That's working in complete concert, in complete unity. And you know what? That is possible. We can do that. We can operate under the unction of the Holy Spirit and have the results of Jesus. That's awesome. People are afraid to pray for folks. You know why? What if nothing happens? Well, if you don't pray, I guarantee you nothing happens. But you know what? Take a chance. It just might work. It's 100% sure that nothing will happen if you don't pray. But if somebody sick comes across your path, pray for them. And there's no pressure on you. All you're going to do is obey. Obey God. When God knocks on your heart to do that, I assure you it's not the devil. Thank you, Jesus. He had authority because He was a man. And it came from God. The anointing came from the Father. Praise God. Well, did you get anything out of that? Did that help you at all? Praise you, Lord. Well, ushers, if you'll come, we'll get ready to receive this morning's offering.